translation. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any objects of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Purport. The Lord's mercy upon the fallen souls is equally distributed. He has no one as the specific object of hostility. The very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. His pastimes appear to be exactly like a human being's, but actually they are transcendental and without any tinge of material contamination. He is undoubtedly known as partial to his pure devotees, but in fact he is never partial, as much as the sun is never partial to anyone. By utilizing the sun rays, sometimes even the stones become valuable, whereas a blind man cannot see the sun. Although there are enough sun ray before him, darkness and light are two opposite conceptions, but this does not mean that the sun is partial in distributing its ray. The sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacity of the receptacle differ. Foolish people think that devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in the transcendental loving services of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchanges. And therefore, the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering man, needy man, inquisitive person or philosopher make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious at all, prays to the Lord for his mercy. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord, and those who are 100% engaged in the service of the Lord are full recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient, and it is not due to the partiality of all merciful Lord. When the Lord descends on this material world by all his merciful energy, he plays like a human being, and therefore it appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees only. But that is not the fact. Despite such apparent manifestation is partiality. His mercy is equally distributed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. All persons who died in the fight before the presence of the Lord got salvation without the necessary qualification, because death before the presence of the Lord purifies the passing soul from the effect of all sins. And therefore, the dying man get a place somewhere in the transcendental abode. Somehow or other, if someone puts himself open in the sunray, he is sure to get the requisite benefit both by heat and by ultraviolet rays. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is never partial. It is wrong for the people in general to think of him as partial. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurmilitam Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatha Nitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Laita Sri Visakha Nitansa Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Aradhya Bhagavan Braja Satanayam Staddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Braja Badhu Bhargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Avalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur Matamidam Tatradharana Param Hare Krishna. So, this is the prayers of Queen Kunti. So, Kunti Devi, maybe we know or not, Srila Prabhupada spoke very lengthy classes on Queen Kunti. He spoke for 24 days continuously, consecutively in Los Angeles on this chapter. So it's a very important prayer by Queen Kunti. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is many different stutis or prayers. Stuti is not exactly a prayer, but it is quite higher than the prayer actually. But somehow, we don't have such word in English, so that is interpreted as a prayer. And Srila Prabhupada spoke 24 days on this subject matter continuously. And this prayer, one of the best one, although in Srimad Bhagavatam there is so many stutis or prayers, this is one of the best one for the mode of separation for a Vaishnava. And this prayer, this is the first one also in first canto. This is the first one, and second one will be Bhishma Stuti or prayers of Bhishma Dev in next chapter. So there is so many different type of prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahatmya, it's not in Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, it is in Padma Puran, I'm just quoting. The Mahatmya or the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam is described that how it is higher than any, even the demigods, you know, thought and conceptions. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he was about to start speaking about the Bhagavatam to King Parikshit. Parikshit, as we all know, that he was cursed that he will be die in 7 days, the seventh day. So Maharaj Parikshit came to the bank of Ganga and he was sitting there. He was about to hear the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the demigods headed by Indra, they thought that they also can hear the Bhagavatam. So they got the full pot of nectar. They said that, okay, we'll go and approach Sukadev Goswami and ask him. What they have to ask? They approached and they asked Sukadev Goswami that here is the nectar. Please give this to Maharaj Parikshit. By taking this, thank you. So here is the pot of nectar we brought for you, and you can offer this to Maharaj Parikshit, and he will take the nectar and he will be immortal. He is not going to die. And in the exchange, you give us the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the only one they request, that you exchange, in exchange, you give us the Bhagavatam so we can hear the Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami's answer, you may be, you know, it will be really funny for you to hear. Sukadeva Goswami said that you get out of this area, you are not sitting here and hearing. You are so greedy that you want to offer the nectar for a person, a dying person, what he will gain? He will be immortal maybe, but he will not get the love of Godhead. And in the exchange, you want, you know, you become so greedy and you want to, you know, get the Bhagavatam, and he will not get. He will be deprived from Bhagavatam. So the demigods were not allowed to sit there for hearing the Bhagavatam. So this is the glories of the Bhagavatam, that a person who hears the Bhagavatam, definitely he will go home back to Godhead. And in the 10th canto, after Putana was being killed, Srila Sukadev Goswami was approached by Maharaj Parikshit, and he is saying, it is in the 7th chapter of the 10th canto, and the 1st and 2nd sloka. Maharaj Parikshit is saying that yena yenavatarena bhagavan haririshwara karoti karna ramyani manogyani nacha prabhu chana prabhu. So my dear Lord, you have spoken so many subject matter of the pastimes of the Lord, but by hearing them, it's pleasing the ear as well as the mind. How the mind is pleasing by hearing? The mind accepts the subject matter of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, then the heart accepts the subject matter of Krishna. So that's why he is saying that karoti karna ramyani manogyani nacha prabhu. And also the mind is also attracted. And then after he is saying यच्छृण्वतो अपेति वितृष्णा सत्वं च शुद्ध्यति अचिरेण पुंसः भक्ति हरो तत्पुरुषे च सख्यं तदेव हारं वदमन्यसे चेत्. सो बाय हियरिंग व्हाट हैपेंस इफ समवन हियर्स द श्रीमद् भागवतम द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड स्पेशली द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द चाइल्डहुड What happens? There is five things happens to a person. What is the five things? Yat shrunvato apeti ratir vitrishna. Arati. Arati is a word, a person who doesn't have the taste for hearing. So what happens? It becomes very interesting for him and he started hearing. The same thing he doesn't want to hear by just keep practicing hearing, everyday hearing, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By hearing every day, the taste develops and he starts hearing about Srimad Bhagavatam. As a person who has the disease which is called jaundice. If he is taking the candy sugar or sugar candy, what happens? It is bitter for his tongue. Syat Krishna nama charitadi suitopa vidya pitopa tapta rasanasya narochika. A person, Srila Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, that if a person has jaundice or a disease related to the liver, or it is called excess bile production of the liver. What happens? The whole body becomes yellowish. Somebody maybe know about jaundice? So, and then what happens? Even you take the sugar candy is the best medicine for such kind of disease. But what happens? It tastes so bitter in the beginning. But by taking again and again the same thing, the taste is being experienced. The taste has been developed, the sweet taste is being developed by taking slowly, slowly. So, pitopa tapta rasanasya narochikan. Tapta rasana. So, pitopa tapta, by the pita, means the heating elements of the liver, makes the rasana, means the tongue. So, pitopatapta rasanasya norochikana. So, although the names of and pastimes of the Lord is so sweet, he's saying that Shyat Krishna nama charitadi sitopa vidya, the names and the pastimes of the Lord is so sweet, yet it's not so much tasty for a person who is totally observed in the material life. But by hearing every day, as like the person who has the jaundice taking the sugar candy and cures his disease, similarly, a person who is hearing, then he is going to slowly, slowly develop the taste and then he will be merged into the ocean of devotion. So that's the first thing develop. Arati. Then what happens? Then Vitrishna. Five things, one of that five things. Vitrishna. Then a person doesn't have, they have the so many material desires, a person. And by hearing the Bhagavatam, the Vitrishna. Vitrishna means Vigata Trishna Yasya Saha. Means a person's desire, countless desire, so many desires we have, and that disappears and develops the pure desire, which is the serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vitrishna. And Sattvam cha achirena siddhyati. So, Sridhar Swami, in this sloka, he specially comments, he's saying that achirena sarvatra yajya means, achirena means without any further delay, all five things are happening. Arati, the distest, the test person, a person doesn't have, that further delay immediately develops. Arati achirena apeti, vitrishna achirena apeti, sattvamcha achirena suddhyati. Then we come to a mode of goodness platform on the third. Sattvamcha achirena suddhyati. A person who develops the sattva guna. Remember, by being in the platform of tama and rajo, it is very hard to do the service properly. So the mode of goodness is very important in devotional life. This should be always remembered, that the mode of ignorance and mode of passion is not helpful in devotional life. Although sometimes devotees like Arjuna, he was in mode of passion in the battlefield. That was required by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we don't have that kind of quality. Krishna was a great friend of Arjuna and a very relative. But here it is totally different. We are just from this material world. We are nothing to do with transcendental, and we are trying to practice the devotion. So that's why mode of goodness is very much important. Passion and ignorance, then there is very hard to achieve the service or the develop the test of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or love of Godhead. So that's why we have to be always try to be in the mode of goodness. Krishna says, urdhe gacchanti sattvasta madhye trishtanti rajasa jaganya guna vrittisya adho gacchanti tamasa. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, urdhe gacchanti sattvasta, those are in mode of goodness, they will be always go higher and higher to achieve the love of Godhead. And madhye tishtanti rajasa, and in the middle, those who are mode of passion, they will be staying. And jaganya guna vrittisya, jaganya guna vritti, those whose nature is jaganya. Jaganya means very low class. Jaganya guna vrittisya, very low class. They will go down and down and down always. Adho gacchanti tamasa. Adho means going toward, downward. Urdha means upward, and adho means downward. Madhya means in the middle. So they will go downwards. So that's why we have to be always in mode of goodness. Sattvamcha achirena siddhyati. So this is the third one. A person will get sattva guna or the mode of goodness if they are practicing Krishna consciousness or hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead every day. Haro bhakti achirena bhavati. And the fourth one is the best one, of course. The haro bhakti achirena bhavati. Haro, hari. The devotion of the hari will be, further delay will manifest in the heart of such a person who is hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead every day. Haro, why specially the word used hari? The Lord Hari, word is hari means Krishna who attracts to all his devotees is called hari. And also it is a meaning that he takes all the material desires or entanglement from the devotees away. So that way they will be all connected to him and their devotional life will start. That's why it is called hari. He takes away all their material desires and make them pure, so that they can do the devotion. Haro bhakti achirena bhavati. Tat purusesya sakshyam achirena bhavati. The fifth one is tat purusesya sakshyam achirena bhavati. The fifth one, what happens when we practice by hearing every day or practicing chanting the holy name? What happened? We develop, the devotees, they develop friendship with other devotees. We can remember that, you know, our life, we came from a family, we have so many connections. But sometime we experienced with our devotees that they have more intimate, close relationship between the devotees than the family members. We have, I think some of you must have experienced. We don't have so much connection with the family as much we have connection with devotees. So a wonderful relationship developed by hearing this Bhagavatam. So these five things happens when a person hears the Bhagavatam. I was thinking to speak about a little bit about Srimati Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi is the aunt of Lord Sri Krishna. She is Krishna's father's older sister. And they have always the wonderful relationship. She was never favoring only the Pandavas. He was never favoring the Pandavas or Kunti. But this was the devotee. They are the great devotees. That's why Krishna was the, as Srila Prabhupada said, that the mercy is always open to everyone. But only the devotees, they receive that. And the non-devotees, they are not able to receive. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lachman Hanuman and Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So, the mercy of the Lord is as it is for everyone, but non-devotees, they can't receive it because they think that they don't need. And sometime, as we discussed the other day, Chaturvidha Bhajante Imam, Jano Sukriti Narjuna. So, four type of people, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in this purport here especially. There is four type of people who comes to Krishna for something. So, Artha, Arthartha, Jigyasu, and Jnani. The philosophers, they come sometime. And Artha, those are really, really suffering souls. They come to Krishna for getting some benefit. And once they get the benefit, then they forget. In most of the cases, that's what Srila Prabhupada says. Most of the cases, once their suffering is over, they came to Krishna, Krishna has taken their suffering. As we discuss about Hari, he takes away all the sufferings and material desires. He takes away. Then we become so comfortable, then we forget Krishna again. We go back to the material life as we are doing, whatever we are doing, again we start at that. There are the, you know, people, those who suffering, they come and they lost that. And similarly, others like Artharthi, who wants wealth, they also come to Krishna. Once they get wealth, then they forget Krishna. So these are the people who comes to Krishna, who come to Krishna, but once they get this, get the full benefit, then they think that, you know, that's it. We don't need further. And they lost the connection with the Lord. That's why they didn't get the mercy. About a year ago, a wonderful gentleman came to Bhaktivedanta Manor. He was talking to me, and he was at one point, say about 2 years ago, he was worth of more than 1 million. And he said that, why, you know, God has taken my money away? You know, now I'm, you know, very, you know, not poor, but, you know, I'm poor, very poor. But he was very, you know, living a wonderful life still. He has money to live a wonderful life. But see the desire, you know. He had more than 100 million and he lost it. And I don't want to discuss how he lost the money. But he lost very soon the money. Because of the desire of having more money, he lost so quickly his money. And then it's a blame on Krishna that why God has taken my money. When we decided to spend the money in such a way, did we ask Krishna? I have asked the question to him. I said that, have you asked Krishna how you spent your money any time in your life? That was your money, isn't it? It was your money, you can spend whichever the way you want to spend. And when the money has gone, then why God has done this? Then similarly, I asked him, how much, when you born, how much you brought with you, the wealth? Did you brought anything with you? He said, no. So how did you got this? Your parents were rich? No. So how? I worked hard. So you worked hard, you must have known how to save your money, isn't it? So I was asking the questions. And finally he agreed that, you know, there was a reason that wealth was gone. I said that you came today. I would like to see you more often here. I haven't seen him after that though. But this is the conception people have that, you know, when the money is coming, it's me. Although they come to Krishna, they pray that time, once they become wealthy, then they forget. The track has all, you know, the disconnection has taken place. And once they lost again, then they come to Krishna and then they think that, you know, again Krishna will give. Krishna is not going to be so pleased with you. He has given so much, but you didn't know how to take care of them. And, you know, also, if he's giving his special mercy to a devotee, then he can be, you know, taking their money so that they can come to Krishna and become surrender. So that this is the special mercy by the Lord, and, you know, in a way that he has to take in all the wealth. Anyways, so this is the, again coming back to Kunti Devi. So she is the aunt of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the older sister of Krishna's father, Vasudev. And any time he would see Kunti Devi, he would offer the obeisances, touch her feet, and respect Kunti Devi. So this is the first time in the history Kunti Devi is offering the prayers. It's the other way around. The history has changed now. All this time, Lord Krishna was paying obeisances to Kunti Devi, and this is the first time Kunti Devi is praying to the Lord. So some commentator in Bhagavatam, they are saying that, you know, why he did that? Why Kunti Devi is praying? The first sloka of the prayer is Namasye Purusam Twadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Paraham Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antarbahir Avastitaha. Namasye, I pay my respectful obeisances, O dear Lord. I respect you. I take shelter at your lotus feet. So many. Namasye corresponds to so many things. My dear Lord, I am paying my respectful obeisances to you. Krishna asks, some commentator says that, why you are paying me obeisances? You are my aunt. You are, you know, the older sister of my father. I should supposed to do that. But why namasya today? Because now I already know that you are the Purusam Tvadyam. You are the Adi Purusam. Purusha. Anybody know the meaning of Purusha? Puryam Shayate Iti Purusha. Puryam Shayate. So the Lord, he resides in all living entities. Puryam. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that the body is a pura or city. And the Lord is residing in that city. Navadware pure dehi naiva kurvan karyan. So in the nine, you know, this nine doors in this, you know, city, and the Lord resides there. Puryam shyote iti purusha. So the Lord resides in every living entity. He's not only living in the only human being, he is living in everyone's heart. Sometime, some people say, oh, we kill the animals because soul doesn't exist in the what is that in the animals. So that's why we kill the animal and we eat. This is a really, really foolish statement. The soul and the super soul is always, and you know, he's everywhere present, not only in the living beings, also we can see the tree, the mountain, wherever you see. So he is always everywhere present. Namasya Purusam Tvadyam, and you are the Adi Purusa. That's why I'm paying my respectful obeisances to you. Tvadyam. Purusham. Namasya Purusam Tvadyam. Ishwaram Prakritehe Param. And you are Ishwar, you are the controller. The Jiva is Niyamya, and you are the Niyamak, or the controller. And Jiva is being controlled by you. So Kuntis, this is Kuntis realization, that you are the controller and we are being controlled by you. We are Niyamya. This is the Sanskrit word Niyamya and Niyamak. So we are being controlled and the Lord is controlling us. And what else? Prakritehe Param. You are beyond this material world. Although sometimes someone is thinking that when he is appearing in this material world, that the Supreme Personality is God, the Supreme Personality is just like an ordinary human being, but he is not. The personality of Godhead, from the toes to the top of head, is personality of Godhead. It's non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas in human being, we have so many layers of body and the, you know, soul is inside somewhere. Even the heart specialists, when they do open heart surgery, they can't find out the, you know, soul or the super soul. So forget about, you know, I mean, just I'm, you know, giving a logic here. So we are different, very different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His whole body is Bhagavan. The Lord himself, the whole body from the toes to the top is Krishna or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here it is the difference comes. We are just partially, part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but very little, and a big body is covered to that. And that body will die sometime. And the Supreme Personality never dies. That's also the biggest difference between a human being or a living entity and us. So that's why Krishna is beyond this material world. And alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam. Alakshyam, he is invisible. The Lord, although he is inside and outside, alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitam. He is visible to sometime to the devotees, but invisible to everyone. So alakshyam sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastitah. So he is inside and outside. But can we see Krishna? Yes, we can see here. But we have to really consider, this is non-different from Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple here. He is non-different from Krishna. We should never consider they are the form of deity only. The deity, when there is a prana pratishta ceremony takes place, the Personality of Godhead enters into the deity form, and then he becomes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of blissful. But sometime our conception is that we are going to see the Lord and, you know, here, but same time we think that, you know, the Supreme Person, sometime we meditate, we say that, you know, maybe it can be, you know, different from what we see here, but it is not. He is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead present here enter into the deity, what is the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the deity? There is not different, none of the difference we can experience. But sometime, due to our material conception, we sometimes think that the deity is different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But sometimes we also have the realization, devotees, they always have the realization, greater realization, that the deity is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Antar bahir avastita. So he is inside and out. is like in this chapter, same chapter, antastha sarva bhutanam atma yogeshwara hari so maya yabrunot garbha vairatya kurutantave. Same, antastha sarva bhutanam atma yogeshwara hari. So Lord is called here Yogeshwar. He is the master of all the yogis, Yogeshwar. All the yogis, the mystic yogis, the dhyana yogis, jnana yogis, bhakti yogis, he is the master of all the yogis. Yogeshwar. Ishwar means the controller of all the yogis. Antastha sarva bhutanam. So he was inside Uttara's, you know, heart, as well as Uttara is praying, can you save me? And the Lord enter. He is sitting on the chariot. He was about to go. He was sitting on the chariot. And he hasn't moved from there. He was still sitting there. And he enter into the womb of Uttara and protect little Parikshit. He never moved from there. So that's the, you know, the immense power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Aprameya, immeasurable. Aprameya, Bhishma Dev is saying in Mahabharata, a famous prayer called Vishnu Sahasranam, and he is saying that Aprameya Rishikeso Padmanabho Maraprabhu Vishwakarma Manastushta Stavishto Staviradhrivaha Agrahya Saswata Krishna Lohitakcha Pratardana Pavutasti Kakudhamam Pavitram Mangalam Param. Agrahya. He is Aprameya. He is not measurable in the material senses. He is agrahya. He is not understood in the material senses. A human being cannot define the Supreme Personality of Godhead's quality, quantity, or power by, you know, material conception. Only by the pure devotee or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vyasadeva himself is writing. It's not that easy for a human being to write such things. We are writing whatever we read, that's something different. But he is Aprameya, it's immeasurable. How can he be measured by the, you know, the living beings? Those are, you know, born in this material world. And he's Agrahya. None of the material senses can understood the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can we understand? Even sometimes devotees, it is very hard for us to understand. We have so many doubts about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we have the doubt, and what we are talking about the people, those are not practicing devotional life. Just to remind one point here, that Ananta Sesa, he is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pastimes, and he is not able to complete all the pastimes yet. If the Lord himself cannot complete the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what we are talking about the devotees, and forget about the normal human being who don't even read the Bhagavatam or hear even the Bhagavatam. So it is very hard. So Kunti Devi is that pure devotee, a greater devotee. As soon as she heard that Krishna has left this planet, he is not anymore here, he has gone back to the Golok Vrindavan, Kunti Devi immediately left her body. She was not living for her five sons. She was not even living for Vishnurath, Parikshit. She was only living for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometime he will come from Dwarka and give his darshan. So that much pure she was. And as soon she heard that Krishna has left this planet, she left her body. There was no other reason for her to leave. That kind of unalloyed devotion Kunti Devi was having. So it is not normal devotees how we are, you know, thinking about. Devotees like Sri Vritrasura. In the battlefield of between Indra and Vritrasura, he is thinking that he is saying to Indra, Indra, why don't you kill me? there will be four benefits if you kill me. I'm your enemy. You will destroy me. So you don't have any more enemy. Second is that, you know, the throne you are, you know, dispossessed by me, you will get it. And third thing is that my gigantic body will be the food for so many months to the so many animals. And the fourth thing is that I will meet with my Lord. You know, this is the main thing. The devotees, they don't really care about their body. Although it is important to take care of the body, we got a material body. But here is the wonderful, wonderful quote by Vritrasura. What a great devotee he is, talking in the battlefield. Both arms are cut by Indra's thunder. And he's saying, you know, why don't you kill me? I'm right in front of you. Indra is stuck with wonder that why should I kill a Vaishnava like him? Although he is a gigantic demon form, but Indra understood that, you know, he is a Vaishnava. And Indra got really, you know, offense by killing Vritrasura after killing him. But he said that if you are thinking it will hurt me while you are killing me, don't worry. I will meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sankarsana. Vritrasura, he remembers his past life as King Chitraketu. And he says that, I will meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord himself taught me how to meditate upon him. It is a main thing to highlight here that when Chitraketu, Maharaj Chitraketu, in the past life of Vritrasura, he pacified the Lord within 7 days. Lord Sankarsan came and gave him the benediction. And since then he became a Vidyadhar, means one of the demigods, those who chant the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he got a special chariot given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can go to anywhere he wants, like Narada. So, such a great devotee. He got cursed by Parvati, and he was capable of cursing Parvati back, but he didn't do that. He got down from the chariot, paid obeisances to Parvati, and then said that, you know, please forgive me for my offense if you think. So that such a great devotee. And he's in the battlefield. Indra is there, and he's saying that, why don't you kill me? Who could say that, why, you know, kill me? They could have killed their enemy. And Vritrasura was quite capable to kill Indra. And it happened in the past also. He defeated Indra very easily. And here in the battlefield, after getting the thunder from the body of Dadichi, the great saint, Indra become very powerful. And he's saying that, Indra, you don't have to worry. You have the great benediction. The Dadichi's, you know, weapon is within you, with your hand, and on the top, my Lord has given you special mercy for you to win. Then why you are worrying? Kill me. This will be finished. But Indra, very skeptical for doing that. And then he's saying that, you know, if you think my Lord has given you special favor by giving you the throne of, you know, heaven, this is your mistake. After I will be die, I will go straight and meet with my Lord. And you will be here in the heaven and you will enjoy your place. And I will be enjoy the greatest. So this is the pure devotee's thoughts. So here Kunti Devi's prayers are so wonderful. I wish I could have talked more, but time is always going very fast. So let me finish here. If there is any question or comments, that would be nice.